You're listening to The Stressless Life with Dr. Yip, a podcast about conquering your fears and overcoming anxiety. The question for the day is, what is it like to have OCD? I am your host, Dr. Noah Larracy. Let's say hello to Dr. Yip.
Hello, Noah.
Dr. Yip is a licensed psychologist who's board certified in behavioral cognitive therapy and an expert in the treatment of anxiety and OCD. And today we have a special guest, Joe. Joe is a person with OCD who has very courageously volunteered to come on to the podcast and talk about what his experience has been like. So hello, Joe.
Hello, how you doing?
So Joe, why don't you tell us a little bit about you and how you first began to notice that you had OCD or signs or symptoms of OCD.
Currently, I'm 18 years old, freshman in college studying business, and I've struggled with OCD symptoms for not my entire life, but a large part of my life. And I would say the first time OCD sparked up and started affecting me would probably be, I'd say, around elementary school, where I got a fear of death coming to myself or my family. And it was just a huge fear of death. And like, I wouldn't even want to think about death. I wouldn't want to think the word. I wouldn't want to say anything remotely related to it, because my fear was that if I said any of those things or thought any of those things, then they would come true.
Okay, so how often would you have these thoughts, and what portion of your day was sort of occupied with these thoughts?
Well, I'd say this was back in elementary school, and it was only about maybe a week where I was dealing with these thoughts, and then it went away for like 6 years and then came back as a sophomore year of high school started.
Okay, so you're a sophomore in high school, and what starts happening?
I had gone to, throughout middle school, I'd gone to many religious summer camps, like a sleepover camp. And I had I would pray before bed many nights, and it was completely normal. But then as sophomore year came around, the prayers would take longer and longer to complete. It would start out with 5 minutes, then 10 minutes, then 30, and then worked its way up to taking about 6 hours. And it was tormenting. Like it's very anxiety causing, very stressful. Yeah, it's torture.
When our audience hears 6 hours, can you tell us a little bit about that? You're talking really entire 6 hours to do the prayers?
Head down, eyes closed, 6 hours just repeating a prayer. Not repeating the prayer, but just trying to. Well, what I would do is, I didn't repeat praying as some people with OCD do. What I would do is I would try to cover every topic that I was either thankful for or asking for, whether that be asking for my family's health, my health, how well I do in school, just general, pretty much anything in life. Like, I would just like make sure I covered every topic of things I cared about, whether that be family, friends, everything. Yeah, and it would just take so long. And
so just going back, when you were praying, because, you know, we want the audience to understand and learn the difference between what an obsession was and what the compulsion, right? So the praying is the compulsion, and the compulsion served to reduce the distress that's triggered from whatever feared sensation or thoughts. So what was it that you were trying to prevent from doing the compulsions?
The compulsions were used to, at least in my head, prevent the unwanted things happening. Like I was saying, preventing death to me or my family, preventing terrible sicknesses like cancer or anything like that, preventing bad things happening, preventing a fire,
preventing
negative things from happening.
Preventing, yes, anything bad from happening.
Yes.
And when it took you 6 hours, how were you able to do anything else during the day? How were you able to go to school? How were you able to do extracurricular activities, spend time with family?
Well, so this started to get bad over the summer before sophomore year. And these prayers, it wasn't an everyday thing either. It would be maybe once a week, once every 2 weeks. But then it got more and more frequent and more longer until about Christmas time that same year. And then it transitioned from the prayers to not only repeating the prayers, but also repeating everyday things I do, such as turning a light switch on and off or turning a faucet on and off. And I would do these, I would repeat these simple everyday tasks out of fear that if I didn't repeat them and didn't in my head make it feel just right, which is an OCD feeling where I don't really know how to explain it, but it's like, I guess everything just feels just right to you and only you. Yeah. And I would just end up repeating everything from, like I said, light switches or stepping back and forth through a doorway or shooting a basketball into a hoop or anything really. And I would just repeat, repeat, repeat. And it would, that ended up taking just as long as the prayers and even longer.
And how did you know when to stop repeating? Or what were you trying to prevent or undo by the repeating?
For me, the repeating...
Because I, you know, like if someone says prayers, right?
Right.
Prayers make sense. Repeating, I'm not sure that the audience would understand how would that make sense. So why would that make sense to you?
A way that I think I can explain it is... So for example, a light switch, I think that I can explain it well with that. For me, say I would turn the light switch, it's on, and then I go turn it off. If it didn't feel just right to me, and what I mean by that, it would feel either like lucky or unlucky. And if I turned the light switch off, I would just get a feeling of that felt unlucky or that felt just wrong. Like it, I would just get flooded with anxiety. And the only way for me to get rid of that anxiety was to turn the light switch on and off again. And then, of course, one time was never enough, so I do it again and again and again.
So how are you feeling during this time? Are you happy, sad, frustrated? Can you remember?
Definitely frustrated, but at this stage, I knew nothing about OCD, and I thought that's just what I had to do. Like, I thought that's what life was. Like, I just got to do it.
Well, that was actually my very next question was, by this point, you're spending so much time engaged in these repeating behaviors. What did you think they were due to? I mean, you haven't heard about OCD by this point. Nobody has told you anything about OCD by this point. What was your family thinking?
My family was... I'd say just as confused as me. None of us fully understood what it was, but I'd say my family knew that it was a problem even before I did, because as I said, it was just, that was just what I did. That's how I kept me safe. That's how I kept people around me safe and healthy. And I'd say when my family first really started noticing it was around the time of the prayers or slightly after, where I would just repeat doing everyday things. And I remember one time I was in the bathroom and I was continuously repeating opening and closing a cabinet door, and my mom came and saw me, and she just looked scared, confused, and just like what's going on? Like, honestly, none of us really knew what it was or how to handle it. And
so tell us how your OCD progressed from that point. When did it transform itself into something a little worse?
That sounds pretty worse to me, Noah.
So it did get worse, though.
So tell us what happened from there.
So, it definitely got worse. As I kept feeding my OCD, as I kept performing these compulsive behaviors, the OCD just wants more. It's like a drug. Like, if you give it a little bit, it just keeps wanting more and more and more. So, eventually, I got to the point where I was never able to reach that feeling of just right, where it felt lucky. And I would just repeat something and I couldn't get that feeling. I couldn't get that, the feeling that I wanted. So I would end up just repeating for hours and hours. And then pretty much I would just hours in like one spot. Like, when I mean hours, I don't mean 3-4 hours. I mean like 20 hours, 30 hours. Very long, very long.
So you were basically wasting your life away, engaged in these repeating behaviors, trying to get that just right feeling with the magical belief that if I do this, then I can prevent harm
yes.
from my family.
Yes.
It's very similar to superstitions, right?
Except crazy superstitions.
Crazy
yes.
superstitions yes. taken to an extreme.
Yes.
Right? So where's the help?
Well,
by this point, I mean, you would know this is not normal, right?
I'd say by this point, I knew it wasn't normal. And I did know what OCD was, and I knew I had it by then.
So how did you come to learn that you had OCD? The problem with obsessive compulsive disorder, that the time it takes for an average person to get diagnosed is 7 years.
Well, for me, I'd actually kind of always known that I had OCD because since that time when I was younger, when I was worried about death coming to me and my family and I couldn't even think about the word, I had had other similar things like that. Every couple of years, something would pop up. One that I had that I've heard is very common was in middle school, around the time of puberty, a fear of being homosexual. And yeah, like I said, that's a very common OCD fear. And like, just things like that, I knew that it was, those were not normal. And I'd researched myself, like, what is OCD? I'd had a health class where we discussed different mental disorders and death in depth, such as OCD. And I kind of knew that that's what I had. And then we started, after I would spend most of my time in the day just repeating and being in the same spot, just doing something over and over again, such as touching a wall again and again and again. After that really became a problem, we started going to a local therapist that specialized in OCD. But the problem with that was that I just wasn't ready to give up on the habit. As I was saying before, it's like an addiction. Like I wasn't ready to give up my drug yet. I needed it. So I'd go to therapy multiple times a week, but since I didn't want it, I wasn't going to get better.
So how is this affecting your life? If you're engaging all these rituals all the time, I would imagine you're missing some school and your grades maybe are suffering a little.
I had been going to school and I'd even perform these rituals at school, such as walking up and down the hallway again and again and again. But the thing with OCD is it's very easy to hide and make it look normal. So maybe I looked a little bit odd, but I'm sure that 99% of people wouldn't have noticed anything out of the ordinary.
So your friends didn't know what was going on. You weren't engaging in the compulsions excessively at school enough for your friends to notice?
Yes, for my OCD at least, it's always worse. It's always at its worst when I'm alone. When I'm around other people and around like outside stimulus, it kind of almost distracts my brain from being able to ruminate and just focus on like what's in my head, the OCD. So school and social situations always somewhat distracted me, not fully, but they were able to slightly take the edge off.
How did you eventually find help that actually worked? And what was your process to get into that?
Well, also for something to work, you would need to want it. At what point were you like, I'm tired of this. I really want to be different. I really want to get rid of this drug. I really don't want to do this anymore. I want my life back.
As I was saying, I started going to a local therapist and that wasn't really helping.
So because
I didn't want it, because I wasn't ready for it. So I just kept getting worse and worse, had to go to the local psych ward at the children's hospital. And then I eventually was enrolled in multiple different intensive programs that had huge focus on exposure therapy, which is the most effective for treating OCD. And all of these different programs I went to, they definitely helped me and got me to a point where I was able to return to school. But throughout those years of the programs, I still wasn't fully ready to give up my OCD addiction. I wasn't mentally there yet. So I was never able to truly give up the fears and beliefs. They always stayed there. Of course, the frequency of the compulsions lessened, but the underlying fears were still there and I didn't want to let them go. So it stayed.
So what it sounds like is that you were reducing the compulsions, right? Because that's what exposure therapy is for. You're reducing the compulsions to get you back to a place where you could somewhat function.
Yes.
And go back to school and partially enjoy life. Yes.
Yes.
However, the beliefs were still there.
Yes.
That the rituals were important to keep everyone safe.
Yes. The superstitions were still very much there.
Can you tell us about some of the exposures that you remember doing? Which ones were really difficult or challenging, perhaps?
One of the most challenging exposures was one of the first exposures I had at a intensive program. And similar to how I was afraid of saying or thinking the word death when I was in elementary school, I had, by the time of this program, developed a fear of anything that had to do with negative things happening to my body, such as becoming deformed or becoming ugly or becoming obese, anything like that. And one of the first exposures I had to do was given to me by Dr. Yip, and I had to say the word ugly and write the word down. And even that simple task, which to many would be nothing, caused me extreme amounts of fear. Made me cry even.
So I made you cry.
Yes.
Well, I remember by the time you got through those exposures, you were painting the town with all of these words with chalk.
Yes, that was another one we had to do.
And you were also writing all of these words all over your body.
Yes.
Right?
And all of these exposures, of course, they did lessen my fear of those words. I got to the point where I wasn't afraid of saying these words anymore. I wasn't afraid of thinking these words anymore, but I still believe that if I was in the middle of performing one of my OCD rituals, that if I stopped, then those bad things may still occur.
So for the people who are currently suffering from OCD and they're uncertain about having to do the exposure work to confront their fears, what advice would you give them? I mean, how can you tell people to feel more motivated and take the road to confronting their worst fears? Because nobody wants to confront their fears, right?
Mm-hmm. I'd say for me, something that at least I quickly realized after starting these exposures that I assume many people experience is once you start going through these exposures and confronting the fears, you soon realize that nothing bad actually happens. So it's kind of almost like what was I even afraid for? As you go through these exposures, you realize that the next morning you don't wake up hideous. The next morning you don't wake up extremely overweight. You wake up the next morning just like your regular self. After you do that enough times, each exposure gets easier and the anxiety decreases.
So basically, you prove to yourself that the irrational thoughts, the irrational fears aren't realistic.
Yes, exactly.
Right? Not that nothing bad will happen, because we really don't know that nothing bad will happen, right? However, how realistic is it that you'll become obese overnight?
Exactly. You realize that the fears, at least, are irrational. And like Dr. Yip said, maybe someday something bad will happen, but at least it teaches you that these fears are irrational. Like a lot of people know about the superstitious belief that it's unlucky to walk under a ladder.
Or see a black cat,
for example. So how I think of OCD is like very intense superstitions like that. And what I mean by like you realize everything will be okay is similar to saying to a regular person who has those like a black cat or a ladder superstition, like go walk under that ladder and then you'll realize that nothing bad happens, and then do it again tomorrow, do it again the day after. And then once you do it enough times, you're not even afraid of it anymore.
Or if something bad happens, is it really because you walked under that ladder?
Exactly.
Joe, can you tell us a little bit about if there was a moment when you decided to take on your OCD, when you kind of looked at the consequences it was having on your life and you said, I'm going to fight this? Because we get a lot of people that come in and they say they want to take on their OCD, but they actually don't, and they kind of...
Well, I mean, is it that they really don't want to, or is it that
they're
it's
so afraid
just,
that they can't?
It's too daunting to take on that task, right? It's kind of like, I really want to climb Mount Rushmore. However, am I really going to do it?
When did you decide that you were going to take it on and do it?
For me, this was shortly after I started my first year of college. After my first term, or during the first term, I had still been performing all of my OCD ritualistic behaviors, led to me getting bad grades and being put on academic probation that first term. So I started thinking to myself, and I realized that if I want to stay here at college and if I want to like get good grades, then like I can't be living like this. I can't be performing these OCD behaviors, because as what happened first term when I was performing the OCD behaviors, my grades were terrible. And like if I kept doing that, I knew I'd be kicked out of school and it wouldn't take long for that to happen. And I also realized that if I want to live the life that I hope for, if I want to have a great career, a great family, all of that, and if I want to be really happy and living life like how I should, then I have to start fighting this OCD. And I can either fight it today or I can fight it later. And when is later? 5 years, 10 years, who knows? It'll be just as hard then. Why not just get it over with now?
If there's one thing you could tell to someone listening who thinks they may have OCD and is debating whether to seek treatment or not, what would you say?
I would say that no matter how scared you are, no matter how it feels, I know it probably feels like you're going to die. It feels terrible. I'd say that it's not real. And as soon as you can prove to yourself that those fears are irrational, the sooner you'll be happy, the sooner you'll find freedom.
I really like that last word, the sooner you'll find freedom, because that really is what the whole purpose of doing exposures are.
Joe, thanks so much. It took a lot of courage to come on here and talk about your experience, and we really, really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's all the time we have today. You've been listening to the Stressless Life podcast. Send questions, comments, or episode ideas to thestresslesslife@dryip.com. Check out our website at www.dryip.com/podcast. If you like what you've been hearing, please write us a review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. Until next time, stay stressless.